I've given John Michael a problem and Brad Thompson a problem tonight, and I would like for them to see if they can come up with the same answer. So tell me what the answer to the problem is, Brad.
Six.
John Michael, what is the answer to the problem?
Eight.
Eight? He said six. He said eight. Do you think Brad just can't add, John Michael? It's a pretty simple problem, isn't it? Do you think John Michael just not cooperating? Don't know? But they don't come up with the same answer. I think both guys are sincere, capable. Wonder why they don't come up with the same answer. What's your problem? What's your problem?
4 plus 4.
That's what happens in communication. The word communication comes from what word?
Common.
They didn't have a common problem, so they came up with different answers. And men and women, husbands and wives, feel like they've got the answer to the problem, but they're working on different problems. And so they wonder, what's wrong with the other one? Why can't they see this? Why don't they cooperate? You're on the Tower of Babel. You're a bricklayer. You say, I need a 3-inch by 5-inch brick. Holler down, I need a 3-inch by 5-inch brick. The guy sends up a 4-inch by 12-inch tile. What do you think?
He doesn't understand what you're saying.
That's right. What happened because of that? They quit building the city. They stopped building the city. That's what happens in families. When people can't communicate, they get frustrated, they get discouraged, and they quit building their families. Communication is not easy. In fact, in my personal opinion, I think it's one of the most difficult things we learn to do in the family. You'll never quit learning. And yet, I think it's one of the most vital things to do. Throughout the course of our study, we're going to talk about various specific aspects of family life. Caring love, affectionate love, intimate love, parent-child relationship. It's fine to know all of that. And we need to know all of that. And that's what Jeff's prayer dealt with. But if we can't communicate, we can't get down to the daily applications of where the problem lies and how to solve it. How do you show caring love? Why do you think your mate is not showing caring love, or do they think you're not showing caring love? And communication is just absolutely vital to reaching the potentials in these areas. Yes, sir. It definitely is. And we're going to look at that on this very lesson. Jeff says sometimes it's a listening problem. And this lesson that you have before you deals with that very thing. I don't know if we'll get to that verse tonight, but he's exactly right. Why don't people communicate then? If it is so vital, why don't they communicate? And so what we have on your lesson are some verses, I think, that maybe will help with that. I don't know if there might be better ones, but this is at least an effort to establish some things from the Book of Wisdom. Most all of these verses are from the Book of Proverbs, a couple from another couple places, that provide some principles and guidance in dealing with one another. So let's look at some of these. Let's start with Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 13. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 13. Let's suppose that Keith gets discouraged at work or something, or he's having trouble with his boss or something like that. And so he comes home and he began to tell Melissa about it, and discouraged, and problems. And so he comes to church. And when he gets to church, Sandra starts asking him about those problems. What's going on, Keith? Why are you discouraged? What's your problem with your boss? How's that going to make Keith feel? You think he's going to want to confide in Melissa next time? And so here's this passage right here. It says, he who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter. If there's ever a bond that ought to be strong in keeping secrets, shouldn't it be between husbands and wives? You people who are supposed to be the closest people on earth. You know, when you communicate, if you're really communicating, not building a straw man, you're actually revealing the things on your heart. You may not be proud of it. That's one of the difficulties about communicating. We're not real proud of what we see in the mirror. But if you can bring yourself to really deal with what's bothering you, you may not be proud of it. And it's somewhat like disrobing yourself before your mate. You're just standing there naked. Do you want your mate to not respect that? No. And so if you want to build communication, your mate has to believe that you're going to keep things confidential. There are exceptions in which, remember the book of Proverbs, there's general principles to which there are exceptions. Matthew 18 talks about a situation where you do need at times to talk to others about problems. Do you remember what that is? Matthew 18, 15 through 18. Try if your brother sins against you. And there may be times because the situation is not reconcilable that you will need to talk to others to try to help reconcile the situation. Maybe you reach an impasse and there's sin involved. Maybe it's threatening your marriage or your faith. And that may be that comes a time. But that should not be the general rule. And there are situations between husbands and wives that the next day people get on the phone, they get on their text, they get on Twitter, they get on Facebook, they talk about these things. And folks, I'll tell you what, if you want to place a barrier to your mate communicating with you, just do that.
Steve?
Look at, yes, sir.
I'm wondering on this issue, if there are times when a husband thinks that matters of a wife consequential in telling others, whereas the wife might be more sensitive. So I'm wondering if you know, the husband and wife should know each other and always play conservative. If you don't know, ask, well, do you want to keep this private or not?
Good point, Rocky. Did everybody hear Rocky? You know, there may be times when the husband thinks, oh, she won't care if I tell this. You better be sure about that. You know, years ago I was in a meeting and a bunch of preachers got together and they started talking about their wives. One preacher, a well-known man up in that area, in fact, began to talk about what I thought was a pretty sensitive thing, making a joke about his wife. It did not elevate him, in my opinion. He got a lot of laughs. But that's a good point Rocky makes. Are you sure your mate will be comfortable with what you're telling? Well, it goes both ways. So good observation that Rocky makes. Look at chapter 25, verse 9 of the book of Proverbs. What is the wise counsel here when you've got a problem with somebody? So what do you do? According to the verse. What do you do? Just ignore it? What does the verse say to do? Argue your case with your neighbor. You like to argue? We translate argue to mean fussing and fighting. That's not what he's talking about. But there's room for discussion. Presenting your case. With who? The person you have a grievance with. Not get on the phone. Hey, mama, you know what George did? Oh, talk to your mate. Don't write Dear Abby. A lot of folks in this audience probably don't know who Dear Abby is. But talk to your mate. At least that's the wise counsel of Proverbs 25.
Steve?
Yes, sir.
It's unfortunate sometimes that we as mates, we don't like confrontation. And sometimes we know that our mate, we bring up something. Sometimes we know that our mate, how they're going to react.
You're getting ahead of me. Hold on. You're right. Look at Proverbs 15. Now, Jeff, you said you don't know how to react. Good point that he's making.
Or you do.
Yes. Or you do. And so, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You may have seen the commercial on TV. It's just a joke, but it's a commercial. I don't even remember what it's for. Insurance, I think. Some personality. He's in his living room and there's a fly. Or something like that. He goes, gets a golf club. He swings that golf club. Of course, he busts all kinds of stuff, busts the window and everything else. But he got that fly. Little overreaction? A little bit. Of course, I don't like flies either, so I can kind of sympathize with that. But that's the way we treat problems sometimes. And as Jeff pointed out, if your mate knows that if they talk to you, you're going to blow up. You're going to get red in the face. You're going to scream and holler. Whatever you do. You're a woman. Maybe you start crying. Is that going to encourage communication? Look at your survey. Y'all all have your survey tonight?
The second part of that, Steve, what I was going to say was if we practice caring love in everything that we do, then we would have those thoughts and present those things in ways that would not cause them.
Read the next verse. Talk about the very thing you're talking about.
The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools defiles
knowledge. There it is. If you have caring love and a bit of wisdom to go with it, you're going to try to make knowledge acceptable. You may not. Remember, because it's common doesn't mean you agree. But there might be a better way to go about it. Look on your sheet, if you have your survey. Look on page 5. And if you mark the little double letters like I suggested that you do on the bottom, go down to EE, double E. If you didn't mark them, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 paragraphs down. Note this is comments from husbands. Ways that wives hurt or disrespect their husbands. Look at that paragraph. Wives screaming and yelling at their husbands in epidemic proportions. You reckon that ever happens in quote-unquote Christian families? Yes.
Yeah.
Ma'am? I didn't understand you. I'm sorry, Margaret.
Where is it?
It's on page 5. Page 5, down toward the bottom. Go down to 5th paragraph under comments from husbands. I want to encourage you again, on that sheet where I handed this out, I encourage you to go through and number the rows, letter the other things, either with a small letter or a double letter, this section a double letter, and that way it would be easy to reference. In your own notes, it'll be easy to reference. So if you don't know where I'm talking about, appreciate you asking that, Margaret. But it's right there, about the 5th paragraph down. So I'll answer your question. Yes, it goes on in supposed Christian households. Supposed Christian, because that's not acting like a Christian, but it happens. Is it possible it went on in the Ephesian households? Know any passage in Ephesians that talks about it? About this kind of reaction? Blowing up, that kind of stuff? Look at Ephesians 4. Verse 31. Now at the end of the verse, he said, with all malice. All of these are indications of ill will. You've got some specific things he mentioned. Bitterness, wrath, and anger. Why did he repeat himself? Isn't wrath the same thing as anger? What? I can't hear you. Adding emphasis? Well, that's not a bad answer, but that's not the correct answer. That's a good answer, though, Noah. That's not bad. There's two kinds of anger, two words in the New Testament. One has to do with, I'm not going to shout and yell, but I'm going to tell you what, you're going to pay. I'll get you. The other is, close the doors and shut the blind because I'm fixing to yell and throw something at you. That's that second word. One or the other. And so, when that happens, you have the next word. Clamor. That's the loudness and the uproar and the turmoil that goes with that. And then, of course, you start accusing one another of all kinds of things. Slander. Of course, this doesn't apply to the family, right? Because we have a marriage license. And it says family is exempt from all these passages. Right?
Wrong.
Why don't they apply in the family? And so if we want to close the door to communication, then react like we read about in Proverbs. Look at Proverbs 12:18. We got on your lesson two or three verses there all along the same line. 12:18. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Suppose Jeff and I get mad at one another. We get in a sword fight. I take a sword and I thrust it through him. And I said, Jeff, I'm so sorry. So I pull the sword out and I take him to the doctor and he gets all fixed up. At the end of that thrust of the sword, is there anything left?
Recovery.
He recovered. He's recovered. Huh? It's gone?
Scar.
Right. Why don't y'all say scar? That's right, a scar. This is what happens in families. I tell you what, you know, I've heard people through the years say things to one another. You're stupid. I wish I'd have never married you. You don't have the sense to get out of the rain. They're mad. Trying to hurt somebody. And they did. Later, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean it. You think they'll forget it? They're not going to forget it. There's a scar. So here's the book of Proverbs warning us. It says, the one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword. Tongue of the wise brings healing. Chapter 15, 28. Look at 15, 28. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. In order to try to think of the right way to do it, the other guy just says, here it comes. 21:23. I'll tell you what, I can put a check mark by this, and I've messed up on this many times. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. Maybe it's best just to hold it. We talk about, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind, as if we've got plenty of mind to be giving away. And maybe we're proud of that.
Steve, there's an old Jewish saying that says, think twice and say nothing.
All right, good one. It's good. Look at 29:11. A fool does what? Always loses his temper. Remember, a fool in Proverbs, a self-confident person, not a God-fearing person. He always loses his temper. But a wise man holds it back. So these are some just wise counsel relative to some things that would help to promote communication. Look at Job 19. This was not in the Proverbs, but we certainly have a great lesson here. Job 19. You're familiar with the story of Job and his three friends? And you remember how Job was suffering and his three friends said, "We know why. You're just a big old sinner and you won't confess it." That kind of a paraphrase. That's the idea. Job said, "No, I'm not." And so they come back, "Yes, you are. If you just fess up, Job." So finally Job says this, "How long will you torment me and crush me with words?" Can you crush somebody with words? Yes, sir. "These 10 times you've insulted me." Don't think of 10 like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, that kind of thing. 10, completely. You have completely and absolutely insulted me. That's the idea. "You are not ashamed to wrong me." Job 19, verse 3 verses. So they falsely accused him, insulted him, and accused him of things that weren't true. It's much easier sometimes to do that than to deal with the real problem. These fellas couldn't deal with the real problem. Why?
Preconceived ideas.
Preconceived ideas. They didn't know. They were ignorant. What's wrong with just saying, instead of trying to label and make charges, say, "I don't know why"? What's wrong with that? Yeah. "I don't know what." But anyway, they said, "Yeah, we know what the problem is, Job." Of course, Job's afflicted with the same ignorance. That's why he's crying out, "Well, I don't understand, Lord. I wish you'd come down here. I'd like to have a debate with you." Look at Leviticus 19. The statement that forms the second greatest commandment is found in verse 18. So all of this is surrounding that idea, love your neighbor as yourself. You ever wonder where that comes from? There it is right there. Now, throughout there, he talks about some specifics of what that means, and he's not talking about wanting to run up, hug them, and kiss them. It's not that. Go down, if you will, to verse 35. Very interesting. There are three things that are grouped together, which you would not normally think of grouping together, maybe. "You shall do no wrong in," 1, judgment, in measurement of weight, 2, or capacity, 3. We can understand weight and capacity, but judgment, what's that got to do with it? You'll note the next verse, he said, you shall have just balances, just weights, and a just ephah. So, you go to the store to buy some meat. Go to the meat market. "I want a pound of meat." Meat market guy says, "Okay." He pulls out a little 3/4 pound weight, puts it on the scale. "Here's your pound." "Okay, it's time to pay." "Oh, okay." And he pulls out a pound and a quarter weight puts it on the scale. Here's how much silver you owe. Uh-oh. You say, what do you call that?
Fraud.
Fraud?
Stealing.
Stealing? Dishonest? It's just dishonest, isn't it? Got different weights. You know, when he's apportioning to you, when he wants to get from you, big weight. Does that apply to how you treat people? Judgment? Do we have different weights in our pocket? When I judge you, I got this weight. When I judge me, I got this weight. Look back here in chapter 19, verse 15. You shall know no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor nor defer to the great, but you are to judge your neighbor. What?
Fairly.
Anybody like to go to an unfair court? If you happen to have something you got to go to court for, and you go to court and it's clear the judge is biased, next time, do you want to go to that court?
No.
Are you going to do everything in your power to avoid it?
Yes.
Yes, sir. What if the court is in your house with your bait? What if you're the judge that can't see plainly and be objective? And so you want to close the door on communication? Judge people differently than you judge yourself. Look on your sheet, on your survey, page 4. Look on page 4. Look down at the bottom of the page, comments from wives. Third paragraph down, it'll be C if you got it numbered, or number 3. Ways that husbands hurt or dishonor their wives. What is it?
Being dishonest.
These are supposed to be Christians, both the men and the women. The wife feels like her husband dishonest, evidently. Look on page 8. What is the most important to you in your marriage? What's number 2 on both sides?
Honesty and openness in the relationship.
Not how much money you make, not how pretty or handsome you are. Be honest. Be open. These are real people that gave their survey, their answers. But God was a lot smarter than a survey. He knew it all along. And the Holy Spirit said, here's what will help build your relationships with people. And so we have these instructive lessons from God's Word. All right, look at Proverbs 26:12. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. A fellow who's wise in his own eyes. What are some words you'll probably never hear him say?
I'm wrong.
Do you know there are people that have been married for years who've never heard their mate say, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. Those are powerful words if they're spoken sincerely. But the fellow who thinks he's always right or pride gets in the way, Jeff talked about pride, he's exactly right. We can't do that. The fool who's so self-confident. Yes.
How about forgive me?
Great. Yes, Ed. Forgive me. That's good. Appreciate you mentioning that. Forgive me. What powerful words. I'm wrong. Will you please forgive me? Thank you, Ennis. That's good. Look on your survey, page 2. And look at row 3.
doesn't pay attention to what you say and disregard your input, making it what you say, you're wrong, I'm right. No consideration of what you've tried to argue with your neighbor about the problem. It's going to be kind of like Brad telling John Michael a while ago, say, I don't know what's wrong with you, John Michael. I know my answer is the right answer. But look, I don't want to see what you've got over there, John Michael. I know my answer is the right answer. That's this attitude. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
So what is the solution? And a key is like that.
What is the solution? Be honest. Be open. Be humble. Deal with real facts. We have a problem dealing with reality. We build imaginary straw men, it's sometimes called. Instead of dealing with our mate about reality, we build straw men because they're a lot easier to tear down. We build these false images about ourselves. Did I say a hand over here? Yes.
They were probably more correct by using the word he instead of she there, I think.
Do what now?
It says he doesn't pay attention. I say it probably is more right.
Well, just turn the next page at row 3. Look at the next page on row 3. It is. It is. You're right. Hey, I tell you what, that Elizabeth brought something up. Okay, when we looked at this in a previous class, this row 3, we looked at it. We saw that the wise said 49% in the first column, 47% in the second column. This really bothers them. That he won't listen, he won't communicate, he won't pay attention. The man, it is serious because second column 53, but the first column 30%. Now I want to show you something interesting. Go over to page 4. I'm not sure I understand exactly how Mr. Rainwater did this, but at the top, you can go home and read it. He assigned values to these things. Like he said, this would hurt me the most. Remember that was that first column? He assigned that 100. And then he assigned other values to the different columns. So when he got through with that, he came up with this chart. The top 5 actions that hurt and dishonor you the most. On the left side, the wise, what's number 3? That's that one we were talking about, right? Which number is that on the right? It ain't on there. So Elizabeth's observation's a good one. It's not among the top 5 issues with men. Isn't that something? Fellas, are we listening? He said, I want to be good to my wife. I want to deal with the things that bother her. Here's one of them. Listen. Try to understand. I listened. I wish you'd hurry up so I can get on back to the ball game. Yes. Wonder why he wants to get back to the ball game? Oh.
Why is that?
What do you think?
Pride?
I don't know. But I know apparently, that at least in this survey, it was a fact.
A lot of times, Steve.
Yes.
A lot of times, I think men tend to consider themselves that they're running of the household. And I have the important things to say. And we're going to need to do what I do. Yeah, I'd like to hear what you have to say. I'm through here and now. I'd like to let me tell you what we're going to do. And so, you know, there is a tendency of men to take control. That's where we are.
There's a suggestion. Good one. And women are different. Women are more tender of heart. Men may just dismiss it and go on. You know, men can talk to men in ways at work that don't bother them. But you don't talk to women that way.
You don't come home and talk to your wife that way. Right?
Yes.
Right.
Right. So that's why you see, men, if you call me on the phone, I know you're a man, I may treat you different than a woman, see? Of course, sometimes I don't do too good with the women either, my wife says. But anyway. But we know that. And so, you know, Wally made a good point. Maybe the men just think, hey, look, okay, I heard you. That's it. Let's move on. I don't know. But it's a reality. And what we've got to do, folks, is not deal with the ideal. We've got to deal with the reality. Here's the reality. Yes, Jeff?
Speaking of reality, a lot of times that's what it takes to bring out some of those words that we talked about earlier, those I'm sorry, and forgive me, is when you've been caught in something.
Yes.
They tend to remember those words real quick then. But carry on regular, normal, everyday conversation, but pride gets in the way and other things.
Yeah, good comment. Look at Matthew 7. Is Matthew 5, 6, and 7 about the family?
Not specifically.
Good answer. Does it apply?
Yes.
You bet. In fact, if you want to, you know, when he gets to the end of the sermon, he likens listening to what he said and applying it to doing what?
Building a house.
Building a house
on a rock.
On a rock. You want to build your family on a rock that will withstand storms? Apply Matthew 5, 6, 7 to your family. Now, here in chapter 5, in chapter 7, people know the first three words. That's about all they know. Do not judge. Where's that at? Who knows? Who cares? But quit judging me. You're wrong for judging me. What have they just done? Judge you. What's the first word of verse 2?
For.
For what? In the way you judge. Now he didn't say for if you judge, for in the way you judge. He expected them to judge. What's necessary to do what verse 15 says?
Judge.
Beware of false prophets. You've got to render a judgment. But it's the way you judge. And there's two things about the judgment that he's talking about. One, verse 3, first part of the verse. Hey, look at that. Wait, let me get a magnifying glass. Oh, there! Look at that little speck. I see it. Hypercritical judgment. Criticizing over stuff that really don't amount to anything. And what's the other one? Hypocritical judgment. He says, you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye, do not see the log that's in your own eye. So Jesus said, how can you say, let me take the speck out of your eye, behold the log's in your own eye? Then he said, verse 5, you hypocrite. So then he says, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll be clearly see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. You think Jesus was saying, get that log out of your eye, now you can get that magnifying glass out and go to work. I rather think I may be wrong about it. Y'all hear me say I may be wrong? I may be wrong about it, but I rather think it's sarcastic irony. In other words, if you've just taken a log out of your own eye, you just come to the awareness of your own guilt, your own failings, are you going to be ready to be looking for a little speck in somebody else's eye? Hardly. Hardly. And if we could have the humility to acknowledge our own failures and our own shortcomings, it'll help us with being a little bit more merciful and tender and kind, maybe in judging others. Look at page 2, row 1. Survey for wise. Look at the first column. Without a doubt, this would be one of the things that would hurt and dishonor me the most. What is it? He frequently criticizes you. Are we listening, fellas? Look at page 3, row 1. Again, you see some different percentages. First column, 31%. But the next column, 63%, may not be the worst, but it still make me sad, mad, or upset. Look at page 4. Right at the bottom of the page, E. Belittling their wives to others, saying critical or mean-spirited things in front of others and make it seem like a joke. Talking down when you don't understand something. Turn to page 5. Look at the third paragraph under comments from husbands. Failing to acknowledge your good attributes. Negative comparisons to other men, etc. So these are things that people have actually talked about being a problem in their relationship. Okay, we're out of time. We'll pick up with F. Lord willing, in our next class, finish this lesson, hopefully, and get into, maybe, I hope, I'd like to get into the next lesson. So, if you don't have a copy of Lesson 4, Purpose of the Husband-Wife Relationship, they're in the back on the table. The lessons are available on the website. You can download the whole series if you want them. Just be sure and always bring to class your survey. As you can see, we'll be referring to. If you haven't picked up one, I've got some extras. I'll put them on the front pew. You can pick one up if you don't have one. Thank you for your good comments tonight.